It's the Nick 10 Whip Around on RockRiverCurrent.com.
Welcome back to the Nick 10 Whip Around podcast here on RockRiverCurrent.com. I'm your host, Air Jordan Gothy, back with you again for another week, week 9 of the show. We just wrapped up the final regular season week around the area, which means 9 full weeks are now in the books. Most of the teams are eliminated, but some teams, some select few teams, have punched their ticket to the postseason. We're going to break down those matchups, who's going where, look at all the different brackets across the state playoff bracket, I guess. That's probably the best way to describe that. We're going to, of course, run through our scoreboard. We're going to talk about some players that used to be in the area, now doing big things at the college or at the pro level. We're going to talk about that. A big college 9 overtime thriller that involves a former local player. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. A lot of stuff to get to, and without further ado, we just have to jump right into our scoreboard, how we lead off each and every podcast. Going back to the Nick 10, Boylan doubles up East 28-14. The big note about this game was East running back Catlin, who had a big touchdown run, about a 40-50-yard run, who was caught up right around the 1 or 2 yard line, and the Boylan defender punched the ball out, so Catlin fumbled it, going out of the end zone, which instead of a touchdown was actually ruled a touchback, which you've seen a few times at the college and at the NFL level. It's rare, but it does happen. Now we see it now at the high school level last Friday. So he did fumble out of the end zone for a touchback for Boylan. That was the key because, again, East lost 28-14. That touchdown obviously would have helped, would have got them a little bit closer, but giving Boylan the ball back, they had to drive right down the field, and you know, the rest is history. But another note for the Boylan Titans, and this is a tough one here. Connor Dennis, the starting quarterback who threw 2 touchdown passes in the game for the Titans, had to leave with a shoulder injury early. So that's something you want to monitor. He was not able to return. Joey Apino was who took over for the starting quarterback job after Dennis went down with an injury. So look for that quarterback change heading into the playoffs. We'll see how that changes this Titans offense. That's definitely a huge storyline to follow because Boylan is now, it's not a deep team. They were inexperienced going into the year, only 2 returning starters from a year ago. So again, that's just another note to watch to see how far this Boylan team can go in the playoffs, because we're used to them going deep, but now with the injury to the starting quarterback in the last regular season week, that's obviously going to hurt. We'll see if they can bounce back. Hopefully they can, but we'll see what Boylan can do. Hananiga completes their 9-0 undefeated regular season after defeating Jefferson 64-0 in front of their senior night crowd. Harlem takes care of Auburn easily 36-0. Belvedere North wins a close one 31-26 over the Freeport Pretzels. And Belvedere and Guilford, how about this game? Probably the game of the week in the Nick 10. 32-29, the final score there in favor of the Belvedere Bucks as they get their 2nd win on the year, as Guilford and Belvedere are both tied with a 2-7 record in the conference standings. Now, speaking of the conference standings, let's just go ahead and look at it real quick. I mentioned before, Hananiga finished 9-0. They are in first place heading into the playoffs, get the number 1 overall seed in the 7A state rankings, just outscoring their opponents by over 300 points, only allowing 88 so far this year, but scoring 319 points through the regular season. I mean, just talk about pure dominant performance throughout the Nick 10. I know they had some tough games against Harlem. They had a tough game against Belvedere North. They had a tough game against Boylan. Hananiga is obviously the cream of the crop here in the Nick 10. Not far behind them is Harlem, who lost Hananiga back in week 1. Since then, well, they've won 8 straight, and they've looked really good in all those games. Again, another team that's scoring over 300 points, only allowing 75 points against them. So again, Harlem has played almost as good as Hananiga this year, just had a tough week 1 loss to the Indians way back in week 1. Belvedere North, who started off 5-0, they looked really good, and they've kind of sort of fallen back down to earth, finished the regular season 2-2 in their last 4 games. Obviously, they play tough opponents like Hananiga, like Harlem. They play tough teams. Freeport, they barely got by last week. But again, 7-2, Belvedere North goes into the playoffs. So again, we'll talk about who's playing who coming up in just a little bit. Boylan finishes 6-3 in the regular season after a big win over East, who finishes 5-4 on the year. Freeport and Auburn sitting at 3-6 as they wrap up their 2021 campaigns. They will not be making the postseason, along with Guilford and Belvedere 2-7. And then, of course, Jefferson by themselves in last place, 0-9 on the year. I know they had to forfeit their Week 7 and Week 8 matchups between Auburn and East. Those games, RPS 205 matchup, but they could have gone either way, honestly. I know Jefferson finished 0-9, but again, they had to forfeit those 2 games. But you never know if they're actually able to get on the field. Anything could happen versus Auburn or against East. Moving over to the Big Northern Conference, we have some big games here. Genoa Kingston. Now, I was stunned when I saw the score on Friday night. 35-0 in favor of Janoa Kingston. I mean, just an absolute dominant performance. I mean, really, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm just shocked. I'm still in awe because Stillman Valley was such a good team. They still are a good team, but like, I thought they were a lot better. I know they had a tough week one loss to Byron. This is always a tough team to play week one. Really, after that, they won about 7 or 8 straight, and then you run into Joan Kingston a week before the playoffs. Maybe they were looking ahead. You'd never really know. But again, 35-0 for another good team is just surprising. I thought Stillman Valley was a lot better than that. North Boone takes care of Oregon 41-14. The Vikings punched their ticket to the postseason with that last week victory. Lutheran takes care of Winnebago. Lutheran has also looked like a completely different team in the second half of the season after a rough 0-3 start to the year. 22-14, the final score over Winnebago. Byron shuts out Rockford Christian 74-0. Just another strong performance heading into the postseason. Dixon takes care of Rock Falls 46-13. Now looking at the Big Northern standings, Byron, of course, on top 9-0. Now, this is the fourth time in the last 6 years Byron has actually finished the year undefeated and, of course, clinching the Big Northern Conference title. Now, last year, Janoa Kingston and North Boone had a share of it last spring. Just kind of a weird year. Some teams weren't able to finish out the year. But again, Byron reclaims the Big Northern title. Janoa Kingston right behind them, 8-1 in this conference standings. Stillman Valley 7-2 with their week 9 loss to Janoa Kingston. Dixon, who is another good team that's a high-powered offense, actually the second highest scoring offense in the conference over Stillman Valley and over Janoa Kingston. Dixon 6-3 on the year. North Boone, like I said, punched their ticket to the postseason with a big victory over Oregon, improving to 5-4 on the season. Lutheran rallies back after an 0-3 start. They finished the year 3-2 as they finished 3-5 overall on the year. Also, along with Winnebago, who lost to Lutheran the final week, they have finished 3-5 as well. Oregon 2-7, and Rock Falls and Rockford Christian finished towards the bottom, with Rock Falls being 1-8 and Rockford Christian 0-9. And their welcome tour back to the Big Northern Conference did not result in a single win this season, unfortunately. Moving over to the NUIC, Forreston takes care of Alena Winslow just barely, 22-20 the final score, just a 2-point narrow victory by Forreston. Dupec shuts out Stockton 22-0. Fulton defeats Dakota 41-0. Galena takes care of East Dubuque 49-14. Over in some 8-man football, Polo takes care of Aquin 38-20. Millsville defeats South Beloit 58-16. Hiawatha 76-62 victory over River Ridge. What a shootout there for some 8-man football. And Amboy takes care of Alden Hebron 46-8. Now some other scores around the area. Rochelle 2-0 over Sandwich. Moorish, a touchdown victory over Sycamore, 28-21. Valley takes care of DeKalb, 28-14. Sterling defeats United, 38-27. And Newman takes care of Gwantz, 20-17. I'm pretty sure I mispronounced that, but I did my best. A school that's not very local here, but again, Newman defeats 20-17, the final score there. Now looking at some playoff pairings around the area. I know this is what everyone's really looking forward to. It's playoff time. The big schools are in it. We're going to start off with the 7A. Only team in 7A right now is Hanunega, who has the number one overall seed in the top half of the bracket for the teams in the northern part of Illinois. Number one overall seed, Hanunega, 9-0 on the year, will be hosting the 31 overall seed, Plainfield East, who finished the year 5-4, just barely making it to the playoffs. Now in the 6A pairings, number 16 seed, East High School, will be traveling to the number one overall seed, Gary Grove, who are 9-0 during the regular season. So the E-Rebs are going to have their hands full versus Cary Grove. Number 9 seed, Grays Lake Central, will be taking on Belvedere North. Both schools are 7-2 on the year. Belvedere North with the 8 overall seed in the 6A bracket. Number 14 seed, Crystal Lake South, who finished the year 5-4, just barely making the playoffs, will be traveling to Harlem. Will be traveling to McChesney Park to take on the Huskies, who finished the year 8-1 with the 3 overall seed in the 6A playoff bracket. Moving down the bracket to the 5A playoff pairings, number 9 seed Sycamore, 6-3 on the year, will be traveling to number 8 seed Evergreen Park, who also finished the regular season 6-3. The 10 seed Boylan Titans, finished 6-3 on the year, will be facing number 7 seed Brooks, who also finished 6-3 on the year. Again, this is a storyline Boylan has to follow. Again, Boylan's starting quarterback Connor Dennis, who threw two touchdown passes versus East back in week 9, left with a shoulder injury. We don't know if he's going to play in the playoffs. We don't know how serious that injury is. Joey Pino did replace him as the starting quarterback. So again, that's just a storyline you want to monitor just if you're a Boilermaker Titan fan to see how far they can go in the playoffs. Because it's not an easy matchup. You're playing a 7-seed Brooks, who also finished 6-3 on the year. So not an easy matchup there, but definitely something you want to monitor moving forward. Over in the 4A playoff pairings, number 13-seed Bogan, 6-3 on the year, will be taking on number 4-seed Genoa Kingston, who finished the year 8-1. A huge Week 9 victory against Stillman Valley, 35-0. Hopefully they use that huge victory to propel them further into the playoffs. We'll see what happens. But again, that's definitely a big step with that big win over the Cardinals in the final regular season week. And speaking of the Cardinals, they have the 7th seed, finished 7-2 on the season. They'll be hosting the 10th seed Hyde Park, who finished 6-3 on the year. And finally, the 11th seed Dixon, 6-3 on the year, will be taking on the number 6 overall seed Phillips, who finished the year 7-2. Continuing to move down to the 3A brackets, number 16 seed Catalyst Mara will be taking on the number 1 overall seed Byron, 9-0. 15th seed the North Boone Vikings, who got a big Week 9 victory over Oregon to punch their ticket to the postseason, finished the regular season 5-4. Will be traveling to the number 2 overall seed in that bracket, Princeton, who finished the regular season 8-1. They are going to have their hands full in their first round matchup. How about number 14 seed Mendota, former Big Northern Conference member, 5-4 on the year, will be taking on Dupec, the NUIC member, who finished the year 8-1. A strong 8-1 team with victories over Lena Winslow. That was a huge one. Even good games against Forreston and Fulton and Dakota. I mean, just good teams over in the NUIC. Now moving down to the Class 1A brackets, the 11th seed Aurora Christian will be traveling to the 6th seed Lena Winslow. Lena Winslow finished the year 7-2. And 14th seed Galena, 5-4 on the year, will be taking on the number 3 seed Forreston. Again, back to an NUIC battle there. Forreston finished the regular season 7-2. Just an NUIC matchup in the first round of the playoffs. A lot of exciting stuff. We've made it through 9 weeks. It's officially playoff time around the area. I'm excited. I'm sure everyone else is. If you're a high school football fan, if you're a parent of some of these players, I mean, this is the time where obviously it's win or go home. That's what it comes down to. And it's always fun this time of year to see what teams can make that run. We saw Belvedere North, who was a team who just barely squeaked into the playoffs a few years ago. I believe it might have been 2018. Don't correct me on the year, but where they were a lower seed. They had a big upset victory in round one, and then they went on to move 3 rounds further into the playoffs. They got to, I think, just before the semifinals. I mean, they made it pretty far in the playoffs, which no one was expecting to happen. So again, sometimes you just have those type of miracle runs. We've seen Boylan, we've seen Byron make it all the way down the state, Lena Winslow as well. Dupec looks really good in the NUIC. Genoa Kingston, Stillman Valley, Dixon, they also look strong in the Big Northern. And of course, you got Hotoniga and Harlan, the two big guys in the Nick 10. Boylan dealing with some injuries. And then, of course, you got Belvedere North and East as well in the playoffs. Now, moving to the last part of our show like we do each and every week, I want to talk about some players that used to be in the area, now doing big things either at the college or at the professional level. I'm going to start in college. A 9-overtime thriller for Illinois and Penn State on the road, 20-18. Illinois defeats Penn State in 9 overtimes. And it was a 2018, the final score. No one wanted to score. No one wanted to win. It's just simple as that. I mean, just a 9-overtime thrill. I mean, those players had to be exhausted from that game. But just a crazy game for Illinois. Verdarian Lowe, the former Auburn offensive lineman, who tied an Illinois record with his 48th career start, also helped Illinois for 357 rushing yards, but just could not punch it into the end zone consistently. Same with Penn State, who was ranked number 7 in the nation at the time. They're obviously going to bounce out of the top 10 because if you've watched college football or if you're an Illinois fan, you know Illinois is not good. It's not a good football program. And again, a huge 9-overtime thrill, which I've really never seen before. I've seen some crazy games, some like 60, 70-point scoring games in college football that went to a few overtimes, but a 9-overtime game that resulted in a 2-point victory, 20-18, it's just kind of rare there, especially in the Big Ten. Moving over to the ACC, Syracuse defeats Virginia Tech on the road 41-36. Joshua Black, the former Harlem Husky, 3 tackles, 2 solo in the game, including a tackle for loss, as Syracuse gets a big win on the road 41-36 over VT. NIU makes a crazy comeback versus Central Michigan as they get a narrowing 1-point victory 39-38. Moving over to the NFL, the game in London last week for week 6 in the NFL, Jaguars defeat the Dolphins on a last-second field goal from Matthew Wright, 23-20 the final score there. A lot of local flavor. Robert Jones from the Dolphins, there's the reserve offensive lineman, former East Erab, and then James Robinson, former Lutheran running back, 17 carries, 73 yards on the ground, a touchdown run, along with 3 receptions for 28 yards. And then Dan Arnold, the former Boylan Titan, 2 receptions, 27 yards on 5 targets in that game. Also week 6, Packers defeat the Bears 24-14. Dean Lowry, who's really kind of emerged over the last few weeks, he's had a rough start to the year. And we talked about this on the Football Sunday podcast, the other show I do here on rockrivercurrent.com. Now, Dean Lowry, and I'll talk about his stats in a second. This is a guy, he does play a harder position than you realize just because he's kind of a tweener. That's just what he is. He's a 3-4 defensive end, which is never an easy position to play. But they want him to bulk up going into the year so he can play a little bit more inside to help out Kenny Clark, the great talented nose tackle. But he's not fast enough to be on the edge, and he's not strong enough to be on the inside. So that's why they had him bulk up going into this year, and he's just kind of getting used to playing at that weight. And that's why it's a tough position to play because, again, Dean Lowry's not a fast guy. He's not a guy who can go on the edge. He's not going to beat a tackle on the edge. It's not going to happen. He's a guy who has the bull rush. He's going to push you back. That's why they wanted to play more on the interior side, but he needed to bulk up to get to that weight in order so he can push offensive linemen back more consistently. So, again, maybe now he's starting to get used to that weight, so maybe that's why he's playing well. He's played really well versus Cincinnati, played really well versus Chicago, just consistently in that backfield, causing havoc for the opposing quarterback. And in the game versus the Bears, 5 tackles, 4 solo, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 quarterback hit, and 1 sack in the game. I mean, those are big numbers for a defensive end who doesn't play all the snaps, but again, who plays defensive end in the 3-4 role. They want to play more inside so they can get Kenny Clark more opportunities. And it's worked out well. I mean, with all the injuries the Packers have had with Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, I mean, you name it. So many injuries back there. Savage got injured in the game. Dean Lowry has stepped up big time. This Packers defense really hasn't lost a step. I know they played the Bengals. I know they played the Bears. But, like, they actually have performed really well as of late defensively. So, again, just something you want to monitor moving forward. But anyways, that pretty much does it. That wraps up our show. We went through the scoreboard for Week 9. Talk about some of the playoff pairings. Obviously, we're going to come back, talk more stats as the regular season concluded. We'll talk about that on next week's episode and see some of the playoff results for Round 1. And again, we'll also look at some of the local players like we just did, doing big things at the next level, of course, next week as well and throughout the fall season. That does it for this week of the Nick 10 Whip Around Podcast on rockrivercurrent.com. Make sure you go check out our other podcasts, including Football Sunday, the other podcast I do on the same website, rockrivercurrent.com. Enjoy your first round of high school football playoffs.
That's the Nick 10 Whip Around. Get caught up at rockrivercurrent.com/podcasts.